It is a decision we make. Have you made that decision? Open your Bibles to Matthew in chapter 13. It's good to be here again. We have a very special guest with us this morning. It's my brother. Derek has come down specifically to hear me preach this morning. So we're glad he's here. He'll be flying back to Michigan this Tuesday. So if you haven't had an opportunity to shake his hand, do so sometime after the meetings. Matthew chapter 13, I want to read from verse 3. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 3. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell unto good ground and brought forth fruit, some an hundredfold, some sixtyfold, some thirtyfold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for the opportunity to gather and hear your word, the very word of God. We do pray that you would bless us this morning. Help me to say the right things according to your will and according to your word. We do pray for Brother Lindell that you would heal his body and give him strength. We do pray for this new system, the Lord, that you would use her for your glory and for your honor. Bless us this morning. If there's anybody in the sound of my voice this morning that is not saved, Lord, I pray they'll be saved and come to know you as their Savior. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Most of you this morning, I'm going to make a presumption, believe that there is a God. Most intelligent people throughout history have believed in a God. I'm going to presume that you came here this morning because you know there's a God and we're opening up God's book. This is the Word of God. It's a tremendous privilege that you and I have an opportunity to open a book of God that has the words of God, and we can read the words of God. Not everybody has that blessing. Not everybody has that privilege. So we're tremendously blessed. You're tremendously blessed having the Word of God in your language. I want to make an announcement. You've been praying for the Polish Bible Project. Within the past 2 months, we've got notice from the Bearing Precious Seed. It is a group of believers that have, from around the United States, actually around the world, that have gathered to get the Word of God published in all the languages of the world. And they have agreed to print our New Testament. So they will be printed for, they're not leather-bound Bibles. They're Bibles they print for distribution. So we're thankful for that. And so hopefully this January they will begin printing and then we'll have the shipment by next June. So those are the plans. That means I got to get back. Joe and I have to finish Psalms and Proverbs because we want to print the New Testament with Psalms and Proverbs. So we only have 3 short months to finish up. So I know some of you have been praying for that, and I thought you might want to hear that news. All right, back to the text. Here in this parable, there are different interpretations about this. I'm going to tell you what my interpretation is. The Lord interprets a lot of it here. But I want to try to apply it this morning, so I want to show you some things that I saw in these scriptures, and then I want to preach about them. The first thing, one of the different interpretations is there are 4 different types of hearts here. 4 different types of people. Yeah? We have the wayside, we have the stony ground, we have the thorns, the seed that's sown among the thorns, and then we have the good ground. Some people interpret that only the first people were lost and the rest were saved. I don't make that interpretation. I make the interpretation that only people were saved is where the seed fell on good ground. That is, the seed that fell on the wayside and the hearts of those were described as the wayside, those were lost. And I think almost all interpreters would agree with that. I would also say that the seed that fell on the good ground, those people were lost as well. And the seed that fell among the thorns were lost as well. And I would say that those on the good ground were lost as well. But the seed bearing fruit in their lives gave them eternal life and they bore fruit. Now, I know some people interpret it differently. And as I said before, they have a right to be wrong. So if we're in America, everybody has a right to be wrong. So, no, I'm just kidding. I'm not always right, but I just wanted to let you know how I see things. First of all, what is the seed? The seed is, this is interesting because we find this parable repeated here in Matthew, the book of Mark chapter 4, and Luke in chapter 8. In one, I didn't write all the verses down, so I just have my notes here. In one case, the seed is known as the word of the kingdom. In another, it is the word. In another, it's the word of God. So we conclude that this is the word of God concerning the kingdom. So the parables give us in each of these gospels, give us the full picture. So the Word of God is sown into the hearts of men. And there's different reactions. There is a God. The Word of God does fall onto the hearts of men. It would appear that all men get the Word of God in some form. That all men have a heart. And that our hearts are differentiated by the condition of the heart. And he says, some fell by the wayside. I want to notice, before I go on, because we are in the business of getting the Word of God to all people and all creatures. There are people in America, and some of the problems we had in getting our New Testament published is because some people believe that the Word of God is only in English. I don't believe that. I believe we have the Word of God in English, but I don't think it's only in English. Some people that believe our Bible, this old authorized version of what we call the King James Version, they believe that because it is the Word of God, that if there's any type of deviation, any type of word count, in other words, if you have another Bible that has a different amount of words in it, that cannot be the Word of God. I don't believe that. And one of the reasons I don't believe that, I believe that God's intent was for all people to have the Word of God. I believe that when he said, go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, I believe that included in taking the Word of God and translating the Word of God into those languages. And I believe the people of Poland have the Word of God. Now, somebody did a word count. They counted up the words, all the words in English. Then they counted up all the words in Polish and they noticed that there was a difference. And they made a decision, well, we believe that our Bible in English is the Word of God, therefore the Bible in Poland is not the Word of God until it gets up the same number of words as the English Bible. First of all, there's some real problems because sometimes in English you can use one word and it takes five words to say the same thing in Polish. You're not going to have the same word count. Some say, well, in the Polish Bible it says one word, in the English Bible it says another word, and they're not exactly the same. Well, did you know in America you have a saying, you say, if somebody doesn't understand something, what do we say about that? What is the idiom we use if somebody doesn't understand? You're ignorant, you're in the dark, what's another? I don't have the foggiest idea what you're saying. Yeah? Now, have we said the same thing? I'm in the fog. Or I don't have the foggiest idea what you're saying. We have an expression in Poland that means exactly the same thing, but uses different words. In Poland, I'm going to translate now. I'm going to speak in Polish, and then I'm going to translate. In Polish, when we want to say, I don't have the foggiest idea, we don't say, I don't have the foggiest idea. We say, nie mam zielonego pojęcia, which literally translated means, I don't have a green idea. If I were to translate it literally, and if you were to go out to Google and type in the words, what I just said, if you were able to type those words into Google, if you were able to do that and have it translated in English, it would say, I don't have a green idea. Different words. And if you isolated each word and looked at each word, they would have different meanings. But when you put it in a phrase, it has the exact same meaning. The Polish people, when you would say as an American, I don't have the foggiest idea, a Pole would say, I don't have a green idea. Now, I say that because I want to show you in this parable how I came to that conclusion that the Word of God can be translated differently and still be the Word of God. I believe that the three parables in the Gospels are talking about this very same instance. Now, I want you to go home and make the comparison, because in one it says seeds, plural. In the other two it says seed, singular. But did you know in English, seed can be plural, even though it's seed, singular? I'm an English teacher, so I notice these things, yeah? I'm also a translator, so I notice these things. These are things you notice as you're going along. And because in Matthew, we're translating, and in Matthew, it's plural. Seeds. But in Mark, it's singular. So we have a problem. What do we do? Well, in Matthew, we say plural. And in Mark, we say singular. But is it different? Yeah, technically it's different. Does it have the same meaning? Yes. One, it says the Word. Another, it says the Word of the Kingdom. Another, it says the Word of God. We take them all together, we understand what's going on. Yes? So, that was just a bit of trivia, a bit of information for you to try to understand some of the problems we have in dealing with people, different opinions, different ideas about things and translating principles. Now, to the text, and now to what I want to talk to you about this morning. There is a God. The Lord Jesus Christ is that one and only God manifest in the flesh. There is no other God. Now, you either believe that or you don't. And according to that belief, according to your response to that fact, your life will be played out. People either believe in the Lord Jesus Christ or they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They either react to the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord in one way, or they react negatively and said, no, He's not Lord. The question for you this morning is Jesus Christ Lord? Is He the Savior? Is He the only Savior? Notice what it says here. It says the seed was sown. Now, apparently, this was not like I imagine sowing seeds. Because I was brought up in America, and I'm not a farmer, and I might say something that's not technically right about farming. Okay? But I imagine a farmer, he goes out and plows the field before he does the sowing. Is that correct? Do we have any farmers in here? Am I understanding that? Normally a farmer, he goes out and he plows the field, he gets the field ready, then, I don't know, maybe he fertilizes first. I don't know exactly the order, but somewhere down the line after he's done a lot of work on the field, then he plants the seed. Yeah? It seems to me that what's going on here is slightly different. The seed is just being scattered. Yeah? I've seen it where the farmers, they follow this trail and the seeds are going into the ground. Exactly. So many centimeters or so many inches, so far into the ground. But this is old time farming, yeah? I can imagine a guy like we used to have a track bag in Mexico. We carry a bag and we have tracks and he's just scattering them. He's taking the seeds and he's just throwing them out. Trying to reach everybody. Yeah? Remember, the ground is our hearts, the hearts of people. And so the seeds are going out. And they're just throwing it out. Yeah? And it lands on different types of ground. Did I get that picture right? So the question this morning is, what type of ground is your heart? Notice what he says about the wayside. And again, I'm combining all of the parables, so I'm just giving you the information. They heard the word. They didn't understand the word. They trod on the word. They walked on the word, and the word was taken away. Do you know anybody like that? I know lots of people like that. They heard the Word of God. They can't say, I've never heard the Word of God. They've heard the Word of God. Many people have the Bible and they've actually read the Bible. They have no excuse to say, well, I didn't hear. They heard. They heard the Word of God, but they didn't understand it. Or they misunderstood it. Yeah. Look in Romans in chapter 3. Hold your place there. We're going to come back. Romans in chapter 3. Verse 10. As it is written, it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. You look around this room and you're going to see a diversity of people. Some people have long hair, some people have short hair, and some people have no hair. Yeah? Some people are good looking, some people are not so good looking, and some people are just flat out ugly. And that's all a matter of opinion. Yeah? All of us have something in common. Not all of us here are American. Is that correct? Not all of us have the same heritage. But all of us have one thing in common. All of us are sinners. Every one of us are sinners. And there's not one good person among us. Now, we talk about people being saved or born again or made righteous by the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We have lots of terms that we talk about people. But you know what? All of us are sinners. When I was a boy growing up, I thought, I was under the impression that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Now that sounds real good and it sounds real logical that if there is a good God and a righteous and a holy God, that only good people would go to heaven. Lots of people believe that. You know what the problem with that is? There's none good. And if it's true, that means that nobody's going to heaven except for Jesus Christ because He's the one that said, why do you call me good? There's none good but one, God. God is good. And did you call Jesus Christ good because you recognize that He's God? But friend, if only good people go to heaven, then nobody in this room is going to heaven. Did you get that? Now, I know you thought you were good. I know you compared yourself, and maybe your mother called you good like my mother called me good. It was my brother. He was the bad guy. Yeah, I was the good one. Yeah. Poor Derek. He'd always get caught, and I'd never get caught. Yeah. He'd take the heat, and he was a good brother, and he never tattled on me. He never ratted me out. But my parents always thought I was the good little boy, and he was the bad little boy. But the fact is, both of us were bad, and he and I knew it. We both did the same thing, but Mom didn't see me. She saw him. Dad didn't catch me. He caught him. And so some of us can be deceived, and we get deceived into thinking because Mom says I'm good, or because Dad says I'm good, or because my neighbor says I'm good, or my priest or rabbi or pastor says I'm good, or I look in a mirror and I think I'm good, or I compare myself to somebody else that's worse than I, and that's always a bad habit of ours. We always find somebody worse than I. Yeah, I can always find a drunkard laying on the street and say, well, I'm better than him. I can always go down to the jail cell and look at all the people sitting in jail and say, well, I'm better than them. And we never want to look at Jesus Christ and see how we compare with Him. Now, I would dare venture to say that some of you are a whole lot better than I am. You're more zealous, you're more faithful, you're more sincere, you're more righteous, you're more holy. But your comparison is never going to be with me. Or your neighbor. The comparison is always going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the question is, how do you measure up with Jesus Christ? Look what it says back in our text. Remember what we just read in Romans. There's none that understandeth. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 18, Jesus is now going to interpret the parable. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth it away, that which was sown in his heart. This is he which has received the seed by the wayside. In other words, he received the word of God. He heard the word of God, but he did not understand the word of God. And because he did not understand, he did not react correctly towards the word of God. And because that happened, another spiritual individual shows up. The devil, the wicked one, Satan, comes and does what with the word? Steals the word of God out of their heart. Why? So they cannot believe and be saved. That tells me something. The sower was interested in you being saved. The sower was interested in you becoming a member of the kingdom of God. Remember, Jesus said, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Do you remember that, don't you? You see, the idea of God is not good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. It's this. Only the children of God go to heaven and the children of the devil go to hell. And all of us were born children of the devil, so we have to be born again. We have to have a new birth, and that birth only comes through Jesus Christ. So the seed is sown. If you want to be born into this life, seed has to be sown. If you want to be born again, seed has to be sown. And the Bible tells us the seed is sown. But if we do not understand the Word, the devil comes and takes the Word of God out of our hearts so that we cannot believe and we cannot be saved. Let me tell you something, my friend. You have an enemy this morning. Every one of us have a common enemy. He's called the wicked one. He's called the devil. He's called Satan. And Satan, the devil, the wicked one, is not interested in you being saved. He is interested in you being damned just like he is. And so there is a war going on, and it's not going on in Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq or anywhere else in the world. The war is going on right here in our hearts. Right this morning, as the seed of the Word of God goes out, there is a battle going on. Will you respond to the Word of God? How will you respond? And will the devil catch away the Word from your heart? In the book of Proverbs, in chapter 28 and verse 5, it says, evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. Now, I read the verse in Romans to make a point. All of us understand not. Would you agree? He said, there is none that understandeth. Do you think you are smarter than the next guy? That's why you understood the Word of God? Is that what it is? Is that pride coming back? You know, I was smarter than him. I can read. He can't. I can understand. He can't. I'm better. I believe. And he didn't. What do you think is going on here? Did you understand the Word of God the first time you heard it? The first time I read the Bible, I was completely lost. I started in the New Testament, reading the New Testament. They were talking about some guy named Abraham. I didn't know have any idea who Abraham was. They were talking about some guy named David. Didn't have any idea who David was. It took me a while to understand the Scriptures, and I could not have understood the Scriptures unless some man explained it to me. Look over in Luke. Chapter 13. The point I want to make now is, does our heart always have to be the wayside? Does our heart always have to be the stony ground? Does our heart always have to be among the thorns? Or is there something that can be done that will change our heart from the wayside from the stony ground, from among the thorns. Is it possible that a heart that is in a condition called the wayside right now, or be among the thorns, or be the a rock, or in the stony places, is it possible that that type of ground can become good ground? I believe that it can. I believe that hearts can be changed. He did say, break up your fallow ground, didn't he say that? Yeah. Look here in Luke in chapter 13, about verse 6, he's giving another parable. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereof and found none. Now, God's intention is always that there bear fruit. That's why I interpret these parables that those that do not bear fruit are not of God. God's intent is always that we bear fruit. Then he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, behold, these 3 years I came seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Where there's no fruit, cut it down. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt cut it down. Now I take this, I interpret this portion of Scripture to mean that we can change people's hearts by doing some digging. That's what he said, dig about it, and some dunging. I'm not going into the technical aspects of that, but I think you get the picture. Yeah. In other words, the ground which is unhealthy for bearing fruit can be made healthy to bear fruit. Did I catch the drift of that passage? It takes some digging. It takes some time. It takes some work. That's why there's so few farmers in the world. It takes a lot of work to grow crops. Can I say something else about the seed? The seed is the Word of God, right? The seed will always have some type of effect on the ground where it's thrown. It will produce something. It will not always bear fruit in the sense that it bears fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold, but it'll always begin to grow and respond to where it's thrown. Reminds me of my dear wife, Jana. Normally, if you have a seed and you throw it in the ground, it's going to sprout. Huh? Well, my dear wife, she's more of a farmer than I am. She grew up out here in Atascosa. We're in Poland, and she wants to have hothouse plants. Now, I learned a long time ago, if she's in the house all the time, she can have all the plants she wants. Yeah, I personally don't like them. And when she goes away for a few days, I see bugs on them, so I spray them with Raid, and they all die. She doesn't appreciate that. Well, she was getting ready in the wintertime. I think it was this last winter, in fact. She's getting ready to plant for the spring. So she goes out, and she says, honey, I need some money. I said, what do you need money for? She says, I need to go buy some dirt. I work pretty hard. Yeah? And she wants money to go buy dirt. I said, honey, we got dirt. Look across the field. There's all the dirt you want. Go, they'll give it to you. Just go. No, I need good dirt. She understood a principle that many of us don't understand. If you want something to grow and bear fruit, you have to have good dirt. Not any dirt will do. Yeah? In case you didn't know it, all of us are dirt. Yeah? So she goes to the store and pays money for dirt. And then I have to bring it in, and she gets these pots, and she, I don't know what she does with them, but she does something. She fills them with dirt, but she wants to put stones on the bottom. Something about the water draining out, and it gives good drainage, so she wants to put stones. She ran out of stones. On our kitchen counter is my favorite place in the kitchen. It's the popcorn container. It's a big glass container, and it's filled with popcorn. My brilliant wife gets this brilliant idea that since she's run out of stones, why does she use popcorn? So she fills the bottom of what do you call them, honey? These little pots are round. These were long. Planter, thank you. She fills the bottom of the planter. She takes it into our bathroom, which is the warmest room in our home. She puts them in the bathroom, and the next morning, guess what we have? Popcorn! Sprouting out! Now, I have to admit, I thought it was a good idea putting the popcorn down to those rocks. I didn't realize that if you put popcorn in dirt, good dirt, that it will begin to grow. You know? I don't know if she ever got a flower out of that planter, but she got a whole lot of popcorn stems. Yeah. If you change the dirt, it has an effect on the seed. You see, the seed is made to produce, but it would only produce in good ground. Did you understand that? So when the Word of God came to America and Americans began to believe it, what do we have? Fruit! And where the Word of God goes into other countries and is not believed, is not received, what do you have? No fruit. Or very little fruit. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek the Lord understand all things. And the Word of God, because it was not understood, it was trodden down. Look in Hebrews in chapter 10. Look down about verse 28. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy who had trodden underfoot the Son of God and accounted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing and had done despite unto the Spirit of grace. You know what it is? It's the grace of God that you heard the Word of God at all. It's the mercy of God that you have the Bible in your language. And then for you to neglect or trample on it, neglect what God has done for you, is a great tragedy. Can I give a couple examples? If you married a wife, you would expect her to be faithful to you. A reasonable expectation. If you came home from work or from school or whatever, and you came to your home and your wife was always talking about some other man, wouldn't you count that as betrayal? If your wife was having an affair with some other man, would you not be offended? Rightfully? Brother Brian was talking about people giving adoration to Mary. I think Mary is a fine woman, but she's not our Savior. And we find so many people giving words of flirtation to Mary instead of love to Christ. This is the problem with religion. This is the problem with false gods. This is the problem with saints. You see, Jesus Christ has the right to all of your love. The great commandment is to love God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul. God who created you, God who gave you life, expects and is worthy of your love. But you give your love and your attention to others. You have betrayed God Almighty by giving love unto others. Some places, the seed fell on stony ground. It says, not much earth, scorched, lacked moisture, and had no root. Have you ever met anybody like that? It says, they receive it with joy in the beginning, and endure for a time, and believe for a while. It looks like, you know, they come out to church in the first few meetings. Looks like they're believers, but they have no root. And what happens? The Bible says affliction, tribulation, persecution, temptation comes their way and they fall away. I've met untold thousands of people that have, in the beginning, said, yes, that's true. Oh, going to heaven would be great. Living a clean life would be great. This excites me, and they receive it with joy. They're not the ones that slam the door in your face. They're not the ones that cuss you out. They're not the ones that try to ignore you. They receive the word with joy, but because there's no root in them, when affliction comes, when tribulation comes, when temptation comes, they're scorched and they just dry up. Met anybody like that? You ever met anybody that's willing to believe in God as long as everything goes all right? As long as my mother doesn't die, I'll serve God. As long as my children are healthy, I'll continue to serve God. As long as I have a job, yes, as long as God blesses me and everything's going okay, then I'll give Him my love. But if anything ever happens to me that does not go according to my concept of God, in my perception of God, then I'm offended and I go away. How many people do you know like that? Poland is full of them. Poland is not a country that does not receive the Word of God and does not understand the Word of God. They understand perfectly that Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again the third day. They have the Scripture. They read the Scriptures. They have a real problem. How can a loving God allow tribulation in my life? How can a loving God allow affliction to come to my life? Isn't that your question the same way? You're not any different than the Polish people. You have the same complaint. How can these things be? Let me tell you something. God is interested in faith. Faith. God is interested in you trusting Him even when you don't understand. Let me tell you something else. God knows some things that you don't understand. You as a parent, do you just give your children whatever they want? Maybe in our generation they do, whatever the kid wants, yeah. But a good parent does not give their children whatever they want. A good parent gives their children what they need. And sometimes that will cause affliction in the life of a child, isn't that true? The child will think the world has come to an end. And the child will stand up and say, and maybe that your children have told you this if you're a good parent, you don't love me. If you loved me, you would allow me to do this. No, I don't allow you to do this because I do love you. And so God allows afflictions, and sometimes we don't understand those afflictions. We can't comprehend the afflictions. We don't understand them. Just as a child who in his ignorance does not understand why Daddy said no. Daddy said no because he saw the danger down the road. Daddy said no because he could see a whole lot farther than you as a child can see. And so afflictions come into our life, and only those that have root will endure because they know and they believe and they trust God. Those without root trust themselves, trust their feelings, trust their sight, and so they're so offended so easily. Those among thorns. Every time I read this passage, I think of America. Don't you? Of any place in the planet, America. Where the Word of God is choked. It yields no fruit, it becomes unfruitful, and there's no fruit unto perfection. What are the problems? Cares. Care of this world. Riches. Deceitfulness of riches. Pleasures. Lusts of other things. Doesn't that describe America? Don't most Americans, according to the polls, say they believe in God? Not that they didn't understand, not that they don't have the Word of God. Yeah, they believe in God, but somehow the cares rob the seed of its fruit-bearing potential. How many people have I met that said, I'm willing to serve God, but I can't. I've got to go to work. I'm willing to serve God, but you know, I got to take care of my house, or I got to take care of this. They're so preoccupied by the cares of this life. And they're so deceived by the deceitfulness of riches. Did you know that riches are deceitful? Listen to me. Riches or wealth is not wrong. It's not wrong to be wealthy. It's not wrong to be rich unless you got there by doing wrong, by stealing, by fraud. Yeah, that would be wrong. But the wealth itself is not wrong. And the Bible doesn't say that wealth is evil. The Bible doesn't say that money is evil. The Bible says that the love of money is the root of all evil. And wealth and riches are deceitful. And they will deceive you into thinking this is the life. They will deceive you to think that, oh, it's going to last forever. Riches and wealth don't last forever. They're but for a moment. Just for a moment in time. One day your bank account has $10,000 and the next day it's $5,000 and a hole. One day you're in the black and the next day you're in the red. One day you're a homeowner and the next day you're out on the street. One day you have a job and the next day you're without a job. The deceitfulness of riches. Countless untold millions have been deceived by those things. And then the last ground is the good ground. Every once in a while, the seed falls on good ground. Sometimes it bears 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold. It would be great if it all brought forth 100-fold. I think that's God's intent. But there are diversities of gifts, diversities of abilities. Some people are given 5 talents. Some people are given 2. Some people are 1. Some people take the 5 and they produce 10. Some people take the 2 and produce 4. Some people take the 1 and that's all they got. Jesus said this, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you." Paul said this, "Wherefore, my brethren, you also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ, that you should be married to another, even to him who is raised from the dead, that we should bring forth fruit unto God." Let me ask you this morning, have you brought forth fruit unto God? Has your heart yielded fruit unto God? I'm not asking you, do you have religion? I'm not asking you if you've been baptized. I'm not asking you, are you a member of a church? I'm not even asking you if you own a Bible. I'm asking you, have you been born again and have you brought forth fruit unto God Almighty? That's the question. In other words, have you been saved? Have you been delivered from the wrath to come? If you were to die this morning, I hope you don't, but if you were, would you go into the presence of God or would you find yourself in the company of the wicked? Where would you spend eternity? There's only one way to know for sure, and that's by trusting the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand and sing what number? 249. These brothers are going to give an invitation. It's going to be an opportunity for you to come.